hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry. We're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master, along with Bill the Producer. We are in the studio. We are live. We have a ton of stuff to cover today. And then we'll just throw in some other stuff just for filler. But it'll be fun. It'll be worthwhile hanging out. I've been on the road this week down at the Miami International Boat Show. There's people all over the country this week diving, doing diving events. One big one going on in Chicago. We're going to get some reports from Our World Underwater from several roving reporters, maybe even a listener or two from that event. Pup, the Scuba Cowboy, he's out there doing his thing. But before we get into that, let's go over some of our Scuba Radio in the news. Because, you know, last week I told you it was like a record week for media requests here at Scuba Radio HQ.
They could not get enough of Greg the Dive Master last week.
Well, I don't know if it was me, but I gave them what they asked for, and all I can say now is I guess I'm sorry. Because if you were listening last week, I had two things happen before the show last week. I got requested to do a TV commercial. Actually, a friend of Kelly, the Brazilian swimsuit model, contacted me through her agency and said that they needed a diver for a commercial. And they said, hey, why not Greg the Dive Master? He does this Scuba Radio thing. He could do this.
Greggy, they say they need diver, but they need him not be beautiful like me.
Well, they figured I'd be covered up by, with a mask or something, I guess. But there was a scene where I wasn't covered up, and I had to go and audition for this thing, and I haven't heard from them since. So, you know, they come, they go, and evidently that one's going.
It was good to get the practice of the screen test. It, right?
Well, I guess, you know.
Now you've got that under your belt.
You know, and you think I could provide some added value. Not only can I dive, you know, I can talk a little bit if they need me to. There was one line I had to give, and that was, I got it! That's all I had to say, right? But the added bonus was, you know, the added value that I provided the project, I said, look, if I lift up my shirt, you can use my stomach as white balance for your cameras. She didn't laugh. I was like, okay, I think it's not going anywhere from there.
No,
so
that's not good.
Yeah. So anyway, didn't get that. And then, you know, the other thing was a producer from the Jeff Probst talk show. He has a daytime talk show. You know, that guy from Survivor reached out or was asking questions about Scuba Radio and the mermaids and stuff. And so
we understand you're a full-time mermaid wrangler, and we would like to talk to you because you're the kind of man that makes our show what it is. Jeff Probst.
Yeah, you know, that's exactly how I pictured him sounding, too. And when I say pictured, I mean that literally. However, lo and behold, this week it came out that Jeff Probst's talk show is being canceled.
Actually, they heard that you had been contacted and said, if the show is already this low in the barrel, it's about time that we cut our
You
losses.
Think that's what it is?
Or, I think that's what it is.
Or are we just the kiss of death?
No.
Media
no.
should not contact us.
It's far worse.
It's like jumping the shark, literally. You know, it's a dive thing, maybe. You know, right. You contact Scuba Radio, it's like jumping the shark for your TV project.
It is proof that your show is already at this low, low level. It's why we haven't heard from the captain, the folks at the Clean Slate or New Slate or Real Slate or Slaterific Slate Slates.
Well, I think it's Real Slate. And he's Captain Slate is in Chicago this weekend.
That's what he says.
That's what he said. He could be just avoiding us because he heard about this.
Not taking your calls.
And actually,
they told me not
it's been
to take
2 weeks,
calls.
Hasn't it?
Yeah.
So
they told me not to take your calls.
Maybe, yeah, Scuba Radio. Come on, Scuba Radio. It's like it's not jumping the shark because we prefer to dive. So it's dive under the shark.
Yeah.
If you have a TV project, you talk about it on the air or you contact us, it's pretty much it's
you're
done.
Done.
Your history.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Maybe it's just luck of the draw.
In addition to that, you seem to have, I don't know, a dozen stitches in your arm.
Oh, yeah, this on my left arm. See that? See that puppy right there?
Yeah.
Shark attack.
Really?
No.
The cleanest straight line shark attack I've ever seen in my entire life.
That's what everybody says. I said, look, I rescued a baby seal pup from the jaws of a great white.
And one tooth scratched against your arm?
It's
a long, relatively straight, almost, I would say, dare I say, surgical-looking line.
Yes. Well, you know, it's about 15 stitches.
You actually kind of look like a football.
Chicks dig scars.
Oh,
come
that's
on, look
be
at
a
that.
Good scar. That scar is going to...
And you like my story about the shark. You know, he just had very good dental hygiene. And that's why he was able to slice me in such an even way.
Yeah.
No. The truth of the matter is, this is what happens, kiddies, when you don't lather up with your Reef Safe sun care products.
That is a big, big scar.
It actually
that
was
you
a
have.
Tiny little, you know, a little bump, little basal cell skin cancer, which is like the mildest form of skin cancer.
Right.
But it's just enough where they actually have to cut it off of your skin and sew it back together. So they got to, you know, they got to sew or
Did
cut this little
shave?
Football type of thing off of your arm, and then they got to sew it back together. And then you got to come up with some creative story, like rescuing a baby seal pup from the jaws of a great white to impress the chicks. You know, that's a little bonus. But I'm running out of stories. Actually, I've used that same story for about the last 10 times I've had to do this.
How about this? I was so depressed that I tried to slip my wrist, but I missed by 8 inches.
Yeah, well, it's actually more about almost a foot there, maybe. Yeah.
I think that's why girls are bad at math, but go on.
well, anyway, so, I don't know, either I got to come up with some better stories or I got to start lathering up better. And, you know, the thing is when I was a kid, I was basically, I'd go to the local rec pool in my neighborhood, and I literally looked like a small black child when I was younger. I was so tan. It's hard to believe when you look at me now.
I look at you now, and I say,
when you can literally set a white balance on my stomach there. Look at that. That's impressive, isn't it, Bill? I think that's the first time in over 15 years of Scuba Radio where I actually flashed Bill for once.
Wow, that's not right.
I'm sorry I didn't tell you to put on the sunglasses first. I apologize.
Wow. I got to tell you, I see myself naked almost every day in a mirror, and I don't find it anywhere near as terrifying as seeing just that short glimpse. Of
oh, come
you on.
You were slightly aroused.
Well, yes.
Okay.
Maybe
that's
what I find terrifying. I don't know.
Oh, God. Help us. Anyway.
Too much time following George Takei on Facebook.
Know, that's what I did as a kid. And I didn't know any better. I didn't put it on sunscreen or anything. I was too dumb when I was younger. Not a lot has changed, but I actually have worked with the folks from Reef Safe, and I do wear sunscreen wherever I go now. And that's the thing. This stuff doesn't pop up until 20 years later, 20, 30 years later.
Good job trying to pretend that you're in your 30s. Yeah, back when I was Ted, here we are 20 years later. But
8 inches, 12 inches.
I think that it does provide a couple of really important things that people need to be aware of. Number one, you can't undo the damage you did to your skin as a kid.
Right.
And as parents, you want to make sure that your kids don't make the same mistakes that your parents made with you. And really, there must be dozens.
I don't know what you mean.
But in this particular case, nobody knew back in the 60s when we were growing up that sitting out in the sun Greg, we're practically the same age. There's really no sense going on and on about this.
I remember the 80s.
Yeah.
I don't, yeah.
Yeah,
but
I'm sure you do. But anyway, back in the 60s and 70s, nobody thought that being out in the sun was going to have any sort of negative side effect. It was going to be healthier for you. You get all that vitamin D, being out in the sun, you were healthy, you were running around outside.
You look healthy, you're nice and tan and bronze, you know, you're flexing your muscles.
No question.
And you're going, where the hell are they?
But now, looking back on it, we know that damage was done, and it's going to show up as skin cancer, and skin cancer is very, very treatable.
Mm-hmm. If you get it early enough. Which I have to go to the dermatologist every 6 months.
You have to keep looking. You have to have somebody that knows what they're doing look at you, not just have your friend say, hey, this doesn't look funny.
Yeah, it's slightly awkward to do it, too, but you got to do it. So stay safe, lather up, and don't do what I did.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
For over 20 years, Explore Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explore Ventures, and just maybe why Explore Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at ExploreVentures.com, but it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explore Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explore Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explore Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit ExploreVentures.com. That's ExploreVentures.com.
You suck. You have to survive when you're scuba diving 30 feet underwater. The next time you dive, suck air through Oceanic's new Delta 4 regulator with dry valve technology. DVT eliminates moisture, corrosion, and hose deterioration. The Delta 4 also features an FDX10 balanced diaphragm for years of hassle-free diving. So admit it, you suck. And you should be sucking on a Delta 4 by Oceanic.
You are a diver and have the Dive Flag shirt, hat, and bumper sticker to prove it. However, you can share your love of diving and ascend to a higher level with Dive Silver. Combining exquisite sterling silver with gemstones, Dive Silver is the perfect way to share your passion for the underwater world. From mantis to mermaids and everything in between, you'll find something truly unique to express your love of diving in the extensive line of Dive Silver jewelry. And at an affordable price, go to DiveSilver.com and see for yourself. That's DiveSilver.com.
Scuba Steve.
I like his flippers. Does he ever take them off?
No.
How about if he goes bowling? They don't make him wear bowling shoes? They let him wear the flippers?
Yes.
Really?
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Greg, the Dive Master. Bill, the producer. And
of course, the alien that's caught in your throat.
Yes. Is there some kind of frog man? I don't know what's...
Something.
He's spearing my tonsils or something. But
got a frog man in my throat.
As I said earlier, Pete from Scuba Board, among other people, are one of many that are at the Our World Underwater Dive Show in Chicago this weekend, and we're going to talk to Pete now. Pete, how are you, my friend?
I am sitting at the Scuba Board booth here in Chicago.
Oh, very good. Now, you're fresh from your little fossil adventure. That's what I wanted to talk to you about today. We were trying to connect last week, but we missed each other because you were in the water still, I guess, during showtime. Is that right?
I was still playing in the... in the Santa Fe River, looking for teeth.
Looking for shark teeth.
Well, looking for shark teeth, for manatee teeth, for mastodon teeth, for mammoth teeth, for camel teeth, for horse teeth, for any teeth that I might find.
So you were on a teeth dive. You didn't care what kind of teeth they were. If you could find some 90-year-old guy's dentures that he had chucked over the side of the
looking for George Washington's
on the river.
Teeth.
Yeah, maybe. Well, they were.
I subscribe to X-Files. The tooth is out there.
Ah, yes, they just never get any better. All right, so where was this? Let's talk about where you did this first, because you said you were going up to Diver River, and I thought you were going for like megalodon shark teeth, and you said, yeah, but I'm going for bones and all kinds of crazy other stuff, right?
That's right. I went to, you know where Jenny Springs is, right?
Sure, yeah, Jenny Springs,
is on the
right.
Santa Fe River. I was just a little downstream from Jenny Springs.
Okay, so is that a spring-fed river there? So it's nice and clear?
Thank goodness it was, because it really helped the visibility.
Yeah, I'm sure. So you were going up there with the idea of what, and how did you hear that this was a good place to go for teeth, I guess?
He has access
joined a place called the Fossil Forum and started just asking questions. And they said, oh, hey, yeah, come up here, we'll do this. And, just like Scuba Board, I found a dive buddy, a guy who dives for fossils up in North Florida. I went diving with him.
Okay. So what did you find? I mean, did you find...
I found me and the guy I was with, I'll put both of our finds together, we found several manatee teeth. Fossil manatee teeth. We
What is a
jaw from a deer.
Okay, hold on. But what does manatee teeth look like? I didn't even know manatee. Well, I guess they have to chew the cabbage and whatever green goo they eat down there.
They're really not subsisting on cabbage, except for like at SeaWorld.
Well, the water lettuce that they eat or whatever the heck it is.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And they look like. They look almost like human teeth in some respects, a little bit broader and flatter.
Like
but
molars.
I was surprised when I found one that's like, oh, this is what this is a manatee tooth. How cool is that?
Wow. So yeah, but they're like the molars in a human skull, but they're nice and big, and I would imagine much fatter. Is that it or what?
Somewhat fatter, not a whole lot. Maybe twice the size. Diameter of a human tooth.
Got it.
And squares like that, too.
All right, so you found some manatee teeth, or at least one.
And he found a mastodon tooth.
Mastodon.
Found a jaw from an ancient deer.
An ancient deer, okay.
And it had the teeth in it, already there. Found scutes, parts of a giant armadillo that used to roam Florida. Found the front teeth of a capybara, which is a huge rodent that used to be in Florida. They're still in the Amazon.
Those are like the chupacabra,
not
aren't they?
Chupacabra, no, capybara. It's like a gigantic
nutria. Isn't it a rat?
Rattus giganticus, I think, is its
there,
Latin.
Exactly.
It's still a Latin name.
All right, so you get the tooth of a rat. Okay.
That's correct.
All right. And the mastodon tooth, that sounds kind of interesting. What do those look like? Those would have to be huge, wouldn't they?
Well, this is part of one, and it's kind of, you got to worry about these scientists and how they come up with these names. You know what a mastectomy, right? It's a breast surgery. Well, mastodon means breast tooth. It's got two bumps to it.
Okay.
I'm not making this up. It's true. The scientists say that breast tooth,
that's what a mastodon tooth is a breast tooth.
That's a mastodon tooth. It's got bumps.
Interesting.
Well, because that's what they found first, and then they found the rest of the animal that went with it. They didn't know that it would be like a giant hairy breast with a trunk.
Yeah.
They don't have any hair on them.
Okay.
Well, the teeth don't,
right.
But the mastodon did.
Can you tell the size of the mastodon by the size of the bumps on its tooth?
Size is not that important.
That's what she didn't say. Anyway, okay, so did you find any shark teeth or no? Or was
I found a couple of shark's teeth, actually.
Like big monster ones or just little?
No, tiny, a pressure shark and a makeup.
Okay, all right. So what would you say was the crown jewel of your fossil dive up there near Jenny Springs?
For me, was finding the whole deer jaw that was fossilized. That was just cool.
A deer jaw.
You could see where it attached to the jaw. I had all the teeth to the front, all intact in that jaw.
Okay,
now,
so
are you finding these loose in the water, or are you finding them in the
impacted
limestone,
or something?
In
yeah.
the limestone along the bottom of the river?
Wouldn't you like to know?
Yes, I would like to know, prompting my question.
Actually, we're fanning the riverbed, and you're fanning all the sand, and you're getting down to just the top layer of clay and lime that's above the limestone. And it's in that clay limestone that you're getting all of the stuff from the Eocene era.
Okay, all right. So, I mean, you're taking these things, you're putting them in the home, and when people go to your house and when the authorities come, they're going to think you're some kind of serial killer because you got bones
exactly.
and human teeth and looking things laying all over, or what?
They'll look at the jaw and go, oh, dear.
Oh, dear.
He's in good form, or bad form, depending on your perspective.
Little column A, little column B.
Is it the cold weather in Chicago this weekend that's doing that to you?
Dude, it's 12 degrees outside this morning.
Oh,
why
a nice balmy 12.
Why the hell did I leave Key Largo?
Well, because all those great Chicagoland divers are out there today. I understand, Pete. It's, you know, you got to do what you got to do. We didn't make it out there. I had to cover the Miami Beach Boat Show. We'll cover some of that stuff. There were some dive folks down there. We'll talk about that next, as well as more from our World Underwater in Chicago this weekend. Stay close to the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Scuba.
Scuba Radio.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. Bill, the producer, with me today. We are in the studio. We are live. All right, so last week also we had the author of this book called Does This Island Go to the Bottom?
The author's name is Eric Paisley.
Yeah, nice guy.
P-A-S-L-E-Y.
He's been listening to scuba radio for a number of years. He went and lived the dream. Became a dive instructor and moved out to the Caribbean and taught diving in St. Thomas, St. Croix, Aruba. And it's about some of his exploits and, you know, breaking the standards when it comes to dive instruction. But I'll tell you, if you're in the industry and you've ever been a dive master or above, you'll find it thoroughly entertaining. If you are not a diver, it's still a very interesting read and, you know, good insight into when you go out there and do some diving with those folks and know that their lives might be a little colorful at times behind the scenes. You see the nice little wrapping paper, but behind the curtain, so to speak, knowing what it's like to live in the Caribbean as a dive instructor can be a challenge at times. And this covers or chronicles his personal adventures. Really good. I had read about 50 pages of it last week. I finished it this week. As you see, Bill, he's thumbing through it right now. Quick read, but very entertaining and fun and insightful. So you can take that, Bill, and read it as you see fit, okay?
All right.
Does this island go to the bottom? That was a question one of the cruise ship divers asked him one time when he was in St. Thomas with a straight face. And
I don't even understand what that question means.
I don't think he did either. He was like, I think that was his response. He's like, are you serious? And she's like, yeah, does it go all the way to the bottom? Or can we swim under it to the other side of the island and come up on the other side of the island? You know, maybe not the sharpest tool in the shed, but that's just some of the, one of many questions that are addressed in this book that were asked of him during his adventures in the Caribbean. Does this island go to the bottom? Name of the book, Eric Paisley, the author. Go get it. Check it out. You'll thank me later. Two fins up for sure. Dan Tip next and then more.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network. Your surface interval is complete. You are now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Scuba Radio safety tip number 38. When preparing for a night dive, it is not necessary to exchange your wetsuit for a suit of armor.
If you're referring to the incident with the dragon, I was barely involved.
However, feel free to use the term underwater jousting as opposed to spearfishing to impress your dive buddies.
What the heck are you guys doing? Trying to ruin my life and make me look like a friggin' idiot?
So now, here's a Dan safety tip you can really use.
And yes, that means it's time for a real Dan Good Diving safety tip. And here in the studio, Nick Bird, CEO and Chief Medical Officer for Divers Alert Network. And call me a psychic, but I think today's topic might be an easy one for you, Doc.
Uh-oh, why is that?
I thought we'd talk about choosing a first aid kit.
Yeah, I think I can help with that.
Okay, we're laughing. But I'm betting there are a few aspects of it folks haven't thought about. Just about everyone I know has a first aid kit of some sort, just like I do. But I'll bet most of us rarely sit down and actually think about what it should contain.
And that's not unusual. In fact, really, it's only natural. First aid kits tend to come prepackaged, and so it's just assumed the kit will have what it's supposed to have.
But supposed to is a relative term, isn't it?
I'd say more like an incomplete term. What any kit should contain largely depends on the setting in which it will be used and the problems you anticipate having to solve.
That can get complicated in a hurry.
Now, it's not that complicated. Just another example of how a little thought can have big benefits.
Okay, so where do we start?
Start general and somewhere in line with your needs and skills. If you want just a few Band-Aids handy, you can get a very basic first aid kit that contains really only just that. Band-Aids. Some gauze and maybe some antibiotic cream. You might even want to get a couple of kits to store in different places. You know, one for the house, one for the car, that sort of thing.
Surely you need more than that though, right?
Well, that's the start. I do recommend everyone have a good all-purpose first aid kit, and these are generally considered the next step up from the basic. In them, you'll find tools that will cover the range of scenarios from illnesses to cuts to burns and bites and rashes, a pretty wide variety.
Should you just start there?
Probably a better idea is to keep a good all-purpose first aid kit stocked in a central location, with several smaller supplemental basic ones stashed in handy places.
What about dive-specific first aid kits?
In that case, I would suggest having a solid all-purpose first aid kit as your base, and then supplement it as necessary with diving-specific considerations.
For example?
For example, you may want to ensure the kit has tools for dealing with hazardous marine life injuries. A lot of first aid kits will have the tweezers we recommend for moving things like spines and debris, but you may find you need to add a razor for shaving the area or a hot pack in case you don't have hot water to soak it. You may want to add a small bottle of vinegar or a syringe for irrigating a wound. A lot of divers have taken to adding resuscitation masks to their repertoire, as well as an extra pair of gloves to protect them if they have to lend assistance.
So what you're saying is set a good, solid basis and customize from there.
Exactly. It doesn't take much.
Didn't I see something about that in Alert Diver?
Yes, you sure did. You can read all about it at alertdiver.com, and we've even got some suggestions on customizing your kits for various activities.
What else do we need with our first aid kits?
The knowledge to use them. Don't forget that even the most extensive first aid kit isn't going to be very effective if you don't know how to use the contents within it. If you're going to invest in a first aid kit, take the time to invest in some training as well.
You know, if you take a minute to think about what you need, it really isn't that complicated, is it?
Nope. Most first aid kits are intended to provide basic first aid, and it's called basic for a reason.
No psychic skills required. Sometimes you just need a Band-Aid, and sometimes you need a bit more. First aid kits come in a variety of shapes and sizes, and everyone should have one on hand. Take a minute to think about what you need, and then take another to make sure you know how to use it. Do that, and you're guaranteed Dan Good Diving.
That was beautiful.
Only you can prevent diving accidents. Divers Alert Network is your dive safety organization. With your support, Dan will continue to provide the research, service, and benefits to make your next dive a safe dive. So don't be a dinghy. Join Dan today by calling 1-800-446-2671.
Okay, so we're going to talk about our little adventure at the Miami Beach Boat Show. There are some dive operators down there participating in that event, as well as what's going on this weekend in Chicago at Our World Underwater, big dive event in there in the Midwest. Scuba Cowboy up there representing the crew accordingly, so we will get reports from him as well. But first, let's kind of go back to what we talked about at the beginning, which was lathering up with sunscreen. You know, this is what happens. I'm showing my wound, my scar, my shark attack scar to the camera. 15 stitches in a perfectly straight line as I rescued a baby seal pump from the jaws of a great white. It was either that or I had a mild form of skin cancer that had to be.
Why not a saber wound? Why not a
lightsaber?
The
force wasn't with me.
You do not get stitches from a lightsaber wound.
Oh, you just lose the whole arm.
Yes, yeah. Parried with your forearm to save a baby seal pup from a great white shark wielding a saber.
A trident. Yes. Okay. I'm going to, work on this story.
You were attacked by sugar-free gum.
Yeah, it's much better than saying that you had a little bit of skin cancer cut off, and, the reality sucks sometimes. But wear your sunscreen. That is the message. One of the guys who's helping us with that today is the guy behind Reef Safe Sun Care Products. Dan is on Scuba Radio right now. How are you, Dan?
Great, Greg. How about you?
I'm okay. I got a wound and, I got scars. But everybody doesn't need these. You know, most people can impress the chicks without 15 stitches and, making up some goofy story about a rescuing a baby seal pup. So I don't really encourage that to everyone. They should lather up with Reef Safe, protect their skin, and in the process,
the reef.
Yeah, because it doesn't, it biodegrades and doesn't settle down and smother the reef, which is a problem that a lot of other sun care products have introduced to the ocean. So we appreciate that. But let's talk about a couple things you've been doing there, Dan, or at least something else. When I went down to Miami to the boat show, I brought my Reef Safe, as always. And you know what? I didn't really need the sunscreen this week. It was a little cloudy and overcast, even though that's kind of a misnomer. You should put it on anyway, right? Yeah, you don't let the clouds scare you or you think that you don't need sunscreen. You need to put it on. That's when a lot of people get burned. But that wasn't a big issue the other day.
UV rays are still coming.
Yeah. They come through and they'll do some damage to you. However, what got me the other day was the no-see-ums. And you know what I did? I was like, okay, what am I going to? I don't have any bug spray with me. But you know what I have? I have Reef Safe. I have the Reef Safe bug spray, or what's it called? Bug Stop? Is that what it is?
Expedition. Backcountry.
Backcountry Expedition. Right. Okay, which is one of the products you can get the sun care product mixed in with some bug spray stuff, too. So I just sprayed on some of that, and the bugs weren't a problem. It was like two products in one. You got to love it. TropicalSeas.com.
Yeah.
Go there, check it out. So, they got a full line of this stuff, not just SPX this or whatever, SPF, I should say.
Yeah, sun protection factor.
Yeah, bug sprays, shirts.
Well, it's refreshing at work, right?
It's what? Say that again.
It's very refreshing to find a product that works nowadays, huh?
Yeah, it's right. It actually does what it says it does on the bottle, and you got to love that, especially when the bugs are eating you up. And you're like, hey, I got some of this stuff in the car. And I can make this happen.
And their shirts come in FPF 8000.
I don't think it's SPF 8000. I think it's like 20 or something.
A shirt?
Yeah, isn't it? What is that?
A shirt stops the sun.
Well, I don't know.
You don't get a sunburn under your shirt. Pick up your shirt again.
This is true. when I'm wearing my Reef Safe shirt. But I don't know, because they make a line of shirts now, too, at TropicalSeas.com. I love that shirt.
Yeah.
What is an SPF on that shirt? Does that have a rating for an SPF or no? Because some shirts actually do have an SPF.
30.
A 30. See there, Bill? So you can either wear a shirt or you could wear a 30 sunblock. Type sunscreen. Same
yeah.
thing as wearing
the lobster shirt you were wearing?
Yeah, I was wearing the lobster shirt. Yes, long sleeve lobster shirt. Awesome design. Not wearing it today. I wore it down in Miami, though, for the boat show. But you got there. Go there. Also, Reef Safe is looking for some reps, right? Down through the Keys or all over right now, Dan? Where?
All over the state of Florida.
So if you want to go around, make a few bucks, turn people on to Reef Safe, local retailers, dive shops, beach shops, whatever, any kind of store that would carry sunscreen products that not only are good for your skin but good for the reef, you're looking for some people to help you out and get it out there. That's the deal, right, Dan?
Yes, sir.
So they can contact you through TropicalSeas.com? Is that all they have to do, or email you directly, or what? What do you think?
They can just email us through TropicalSeas.com. There's a contact us button.
Okay. So that's contact them. Pick up some of the stuff. Pick up a shirt. Pick up some sunscreen. And who knows, maybe get a new job. We're putting America back to work.
Would you like to talk diving? Greg the Dive Master's all toweled down and ready to take your call now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Hosting a radio show about scuba diving and boating is one of the best gigs on the planet. It's actually part of my job to check out and report on cool new products I personally use to enhance my diving and boating adventures. However, I do believe in sharing the joy, and this is why we've added Nanook protective hard cases to our list of products you can now purchase on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Nanook cases are designed to protect the most sensitive equipment in the harshest environments. Underwater photographers, listen up. From their high-impact K7 resin to their exclusive power claw latches, Nanook has raised the bar for those of you that demand the best protection for your gear. Plus, Nanook protective cases cost less than similar products currently on the market. The company has been around for over 15 years, but it's new to the U.S., so we've made a small number of Nanook cases available exclusively for you at a special introductory price on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Go there now and check out Nanook, the evolution of protection.
I'm always the first to run low on air.
I'm adjusting my BCD all the time.
It feels that I spent half my dive swimming back to the dive boat and on the surface.
You can learn to improve your diving so that you can feel more confident with your skills and more comfortable in the water thanks to the Professional Association of Dive Instructors. Peak Performance Buoyancy and the Navigation Specialty Course are just a few of the many PADI offerings to consider. Visit PADI.com to find the PADI Dive Center nearest you. PADI, the way the world learns to dive.
Obviously, we have it pretty good here at Scuba Radio, but why let us have all the fun? Dive into scubaradio.com and allow us to share the joy. It's all there, from cool monthly giveaways to info on how you can join us on our next big dive adventure or Scuba Radio broadcast. Click on the shop tab for special Scuba Radio pricing on Scuba Radio hats, jackets, shirts, and an assortment of unique items you won't find anywhere else. You can even get info on how to take scuba classes from a real live mermaid. So dive in now at Scuba Radio.
Hello?
Hey, Rach, it's me.
Okay, I just got to Chandler's room, and I caught him molesting himself.
That couldn't have been pretty.
But you know, guys do that.
Yeah?
Well, the weird part is, he was getting off to a shark attack show.
No.
Yes, Chandler watches shark porn. I always knew there was something weird about that dude. But you promised to love him no matter what. What means, like, if he gets a disease or kills someone. Not if he gets his jollies to Jaws.
Oh.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. You know, when it comes to shark attacks, you know, that is a sore subject with me. And a lot of divers, you know, sharks get a bad rap. We've talked about this time and time again. I'll be, you know, it never fails to amaze me. I read an article again in the paper this week. You know, there's a little bit of shark activity in New Smyrna Beach You know, the shark bite capital of the world, Volusia County, Daytona, that area this time of year. There's always a little spatter of shark attacks, but they're little nips on toes and things. But they quote the guy from the International Shark Attack File again, which, by the way, I own internationalsharkattackfile.com and sharkattackfile.com for the pure reason to drive this guy crazy. Not really. That's not it. One of these days,
it's not the only reason.
This guy, you know, he makes these comments and has these theories about why there are shark attacks, and he kind of lumps them into a very simple formula that more people in the water, more shark attacks. And it's like, okay, it is so overly simplistic. And some of it may have some basis in fact, but that just doesn't account for all the shark dives that are out there and the incidents that don't happen when people are diving these sites time and time again and the sharks don't eat them, you know, or bite them or whatever. And it just drives me crazy. This guy's just, you know, he doesn't like shark diving. He blames some of the dive operators. It's just crazy stuff. But I own these website addresses. They point to Scuba Radio right now. We had our own database we started creating just for the purpose of trying to educate the public properly instead of scaring them or pointing any fingers at dive operators or shark dive operators and that kind of thing, which this guy's done in the past. But he's quoted as an expert. So go figure. Again, the media just, you know, lap it up. Because there's no one better for them to talk to or give them what they want. You know, if it bleeds, it leads kind of nonsense, I guess.
Technically, your saving a baby seal shark attack story is going to be listed on Richard Burgess's shark attack file.
Yeah, well, it's not Richard, but I would agree that he is. I've called him that.
I always thought, because of your short nickname for him, I thought his name was Richard.
Yeah, no? It could be. Could be. But anyway, if anybody ever wants to help us with this shark attack file database, we work with the Global Shark Attack File. They maintain some database. And we used to have like all these incidents listed up on the website. We don't have them right now. We need to revamp that and do that. If I read more stories like this in the paper again this week, it's going to make my blood boil. And I'm going to get this project off the ground finally and do it right as opposed to this nonsense I keep reading in the paper. But anyway, I digress. Let's move on to more positive things. Our World Underwater going on this weekend. Big dive show in the Midwest in Chicago. Dennis, one of the Scuba Radio super fans, is there on site. Hey, Dennis, have you already walked into the show with your crew there, or are you just getting ready to?
No, we've been at the show a couple hours already. We've actually run into several of the people that were on the liveaboard trip back in October. Matter of fact, I'm looking at nice. Scott standing outside with his camera right now, and Pup's playing his guitar, and we ran into Don and Betty Orr from Divers Alert Network already today.
So it was like a reunion, a great reunion, just without me. It was like the best of both
right.
worlds.
Yeah, the best reunion ever.
Thanks, Bill. Appreciate it. He's just jealous because he wasn't there. But that's good. I'm glad you guys are having a good time. Yeah, I got an email from Scott, and he just emailed me. And I get a bunch of emails. I didn't even know who it was, but the email was, it's like, hey Greg, do you still drink Red Stag? And I'm like, who is this? And I'm like, yeah, I like it, but I might prefer a JD. But why do you ask? He goes, oh, I just want to know what to bring you. And I'm like, okay. And finally, I put two and two together, but. You know, when I was having this correspondence, I'm like, what the heck is someone planning to do here? You know, I mean, I appreciate the fact that they're asking my drinking preferences, but, you know, lo and behold.
What should I wear?
Yes. Anyway, so what are you seeing? Are there a lot of people out there this weekend or what, Dennis? What's going on?
Yeah, very, very busy crowds today. We've John Chatterton was giving some presentations that were keeping people quite busy. Like I said, Pup is actually got a live set going on right now, and people are milling around in front of the booth here as you come in the show.
Excellent.
Just a lot of people out looking at places to go and leave from O'Hare to this great dive site.
That's right. Yeah, number one dive site in Chicago, O'Hare International Airport. That's where they go. There's not a lot of diving going on there right now, unless you're one of those crazy ice divers, which there might be some there, but I don't know.
They are the only kind of ice divers, quite frankly.
Well, maybe.
The crazy ones.
Good point. So, Dennis, you got your eyes out for some stuff to buy at Our World Underwater this weekend, or are you just out perusing, hanging out, kicking it with some of your Chicagoland friend divers?
We're just kind of looking around and kicking it. We already hit up the Dan booth and picked up a few things over there. Just trying to look and see where the next liveaboard trip's going to be.
Yeah, well, you know, we made that announcement last week. You heard about this. We're going back to Saba and St. Kitts. Do you hear this? Did you know?
I did.
All right.
I don't see a raffle booth here, though.
There is no raffle. You don't need a raffle. You just need to just join us. It's going to be worth every penny. We're not giving away a ticket to this particular trip because we got Barry and Ruth from Dive Training Magazine. We're going to shoot a front and reverse cover shot like they do there on Dive Training and try to do that on the boat and give people an opportunity on the boat to maybe shoot their own Dive Training cover or, you know, for their own front and reverse shot. And if that's one of our mermaids, that could be quite entertaining, especially when you're trying to shoot the reverse side. You hear what I'm saying? Oh, yeah, you do. Okay, we got that. Scuba Pros on board. Of course, we'll be doing Scuba Radio. Bill won't be there, so that it'll be like the best of both worlds. There, touche! All right, hour two is on deck. Stay close.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated. Scuba
Radio. This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.